AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Marina Roy. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, fresh from surgery to get a pacemaker installed, addressing his nation as protests erupt over the passage of a new law limiting the power of judges over the government. He says the move is aimed at restoring a degree of balance between authorities. In the U.S., record-breaking heat coast to coast continues, 40 million Americans under heat alerts.
We have heat advisories in Florida, you know, Miami. They've been on a streak. Excessive heat warnings down towards Miami. And then, of course, the heat really helping to fuel these storms. We saw some severe storms this morning. Morning. Push through Kansas City, Missouri. And as we head into tomorrow, we'll see that in areas like Pierre. By Wednesday, that severe weather threat then moves into the Great Lakes and parts of the Ohio Valley.
ABC meteorologist Samara Theodore. In Florida, sources tell our Miami ABC affiliate WPLG that Miami-Dade Police Director Alfredo Freddy Ramirez shot himself in Tampa on Sunday. They say he was in a car with his wife just before the shooting and is now hospitalized. Authorities are investigating. This is ABC News. The White House says President Biden will establish a national monument honoring Emmett Till and his mother, Mamie Till Mobley.
The new national monument honoring Emmett Till and his mother, Mamie Till Mobley, will include three separate locations in two states. One will be at Roberts Temple Church of God in Christ in Bronzeville, a historically black neighborhood on Chicago's South Side, where thousands of people gathered to mourn Till's death in 1955. In Mississippi, the monument will include the site which is believed to be where Till's body was pulled from the Tallahatchie River, and the courthouse in Sumner, where the people who murdered him were tried and acquitted. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Former New Hampshire Republican Senator Kelly Ayotte today announced she's running for governor of the state. The former state attorney general lost her seat in 2016 after a close race against Democrat Governor Maggie Hassan. The senator joins the race after current Republican Governor Chris Sununu sent an email to supporters last week saying he will not seek a fifth term in 2024. Rena Roy, ABC News.
For Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. One person is hurt after a crash on Highway 8 near Deer Lake, or east of St. Croix Falls, yesterday afternoon. The State Patrol said that there was a two-vehicle crash that resulted in one person being flown to a hospital with life-threatening injuries. First responders had to cut the injured person out of their vehicle. Highway 8 was closed for about an hour and a half in both directions while crews worked to free the driver. The National Weather Service says temperatures this week will be well into the 80s, with many places into the 90s as a heat wave settles in. Thursday is expected to be the hottest day in the area. Today, most places will stay in the 80s. In addition, our entire listening area is in an air quality advisory due to Canadian wildfire smoke through noon tomorrow. The air is unhealthy to breathe, especially for those with medical conditions as well as children. It's also expected that air quality will be an issue later in the week as temperatures rise across the area. From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to amorytheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench. In so holding, the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says
we're good.
It doesn't.
We're good. We can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
To In St. Paul or CafeLatte.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today, Matt and Patrick. Hot and smoky. I guess we're all briskets at this point. How's your marbling going there, Patrick? Are you doing okay? Getting a nice ring? Smoke ring?
It's funny. A friend of mine is in North Carolina, and she goes, how are things back in Minnesota? And I said, it's warm and smoky and not in the Carolina barbecue
way. Well, and that Carolina, I'm a big fan of that, the vinegar-based barbecue. That is delicious stuff out there. We got a lot to get to today. Including do I sue Elon Musk because Progressive Citizen X has been around now for about 10 years? And he's just taking my letter and just running with it, you know, because, you know, failure. But do I launch a lawsuit here over the letter X?
Might be worth, you might get a nice little early retirement package.
Something tells me he'd probably give me Twitter for, hey, we call it even. It's all yours. I'm running away now. Patty Vasquez is going to join us, of course, our 11 o'clock host on weeknights here on AM 950. She is down in Chicago. She, of course, is being part of the writer and the actor strike. And as a matter of fact, has a lot of things to talk about with that. We'll talk with her coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour, but it's an absolute privilege to welcome back to the show. Michael Broadcorp is kind enough to join us today as, of course, you've known him many times. We've had him on the air to give us a perspective of how, politics from the right side of the aisle. He has, done his own podcast, The Breakdown with Broadcorp and Becky. We're going to talk about that. But as well, for many people out there, including myself, he had a fairly serious accident and was out of commission for a little bit. But he is back, and he's kind enough today to join us to talk for an extended period of time today in this hour about multiple things. Michael, first of all, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for the invitation to be here today.
From myself, from Patrick and Brett, and from everyone here at the station, I'm so glad your recovery is going well here. All my best on this. Anything, dude, anything you need from me, you got my number. You call me. You let me know, by all means. If you don't mind, why don't you take a few minutes, just remind everyone what exactly happened and how your recovery is going.
Thank you. So in April, end of April, I was hit by a car outside my house. Oof. And I just have to describe to your listeners, getting hit by a car is not a small task. It was much more serious than I originally had known. And the biggest issue that I had, aside from, tailbone, ribs, and other injuries, but the issue that really kind of concerned me is that a couple weeks after getting hit by a car, I did a podcast, as you mentioned, and I began to notice some issues with my speech. Mm-hmm. And I had some slurring of the words. I was having trouble finding words. And so I'm appreciative that the podcast brought out some issues that I was having. And so I had to take a break from that. I engaged in some speech therapy, and I'm still doing that. This is, in fact, my first kind of live interview that I've done. But I'm really excited about doing it. I feel confident doing it. But it was just kind of scary for me that needs to talk, needs to use their voice, it's important. I like doing media interviews aside from podcasts. And so it was a little bit scary, but I spent some time with a great care team and I've gone through a number of things. And so I'm ready to be back and I'm excited to be here today. But thank you so much for your concern, your thoughts. And it just was very appreciated.
And I can't tell you, you and I are kind of brothers in arms in this at this point after what happened to me. Yes. In December. It is, I give a lot of praise to the fine folks at Southdale. Do you want to shout out to the medical people that you worked with that had it, with your emergency there, and give them a lot of praise?
Yeah, the care team at Park Nicollet has just been astounding, and the follow-up and the care. I'd like to. I wish I had the platform like David Letterman had after he had heart surgery. Mm-hmm. He brought his whole entire care team on stage. I wish I had that type of platform. But the care team that I've had over the last few weeks and months have been nothing short of miraculous. Whether it's been physical therapy, whether it's been speech therapy and other type of emergency care that I've needed. They've just been remarkable, and we've got a great hospital system in this state, and I'm very appreciative of the care and support that they gave, aside from my friends and my family. My family and my wife and kids have just been remarkable, and above anyone else that deserves appreciation, they do too.
You are getting back at it, though, and The Breakdown with Broad, Corbin, Becky is your podcast. You talk to a lot of people on the Republican side in the state, and you go in with, you know, from fairly, you know, heavy-hitting interviews on this. You don't pull your punches there. It is the Breakdown with Broad, Corbin, Becky is available pretty much every podcast site, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right. You got Scott Jensen. I got to start with the question. Did you contact Jensen or did Jensen get in touch with you guys?
So let me kind of set the table here. You know, people have known me over the years for, you know, whether they knew me, you know, I was doing more partisan work or stuff. One of the things that Becky and I have tried to do, Becky Scher, who I host the podcast with, have tried to do on The Breakdown, on our podcast, is to have just responsible conversations, for lack of a better phrase, a safe space where people could ask questions. And we can disagree with each other, but not be disagreeable. Mm-hmm. And it's fair to say that when I started the podcast, Becky and I started the podcast in November, the person who came up the most as a potential guest was Scott Jensen. And I shied away from it because I had questions as to how thoughtful of an exchange it would be based on my positions that I've taken. And I take a lot of that on myself, positions I took in the governor's race and how I critique this campaign. I just didn't know how thoughtful it would be. And like our conversations, Matt, it's really important to me that what the work product that we're producing on the podcast is thoughtful and just not a screaming match and just arguments. I think there's way too much of that. Mm-hmm. That's why I appreciate our conversations. So Jensen had an op-ed in the Star Tribune where he was talking about how the Republicans and I think the greater state needs to have a discussion on abortion. And I reached out to him, and he got back. He was very responsive. He was available to come on. He was incredibly flexible and accommodating with his time. And the first time I met him was when we did the interview.
Mm-hmm. And we should note, I mean, you did have a lot of criticism. It wasn't that you weren't, you know, supporting of the Republicans per se, but you were saying this was a person that started his campaign out by basically, you know, embracing the anti-vaxxer movement and embracing the, you know, the anti-masking movement and kind of that extreme. And you were the first to point out, it's like, that's not going to fly in the suburbs. That's just not. And then you and I multiple times brought up the fact that one of the arguments Jensen was making was bodily autonomy. That, you know, this is why if you don't want a vaccine, you shouldn't have to get it. If you don't want to wear a mask, you shouldn't have to wear it. But yet then he was running on a campaign, which even though the Roe v. Wade was overturned last year, there was still this kind of indecisiveness on the right on where they go with that issue because it had been a bread and butter issue for them for many, many years. And it really kind of put him in a tough spot. Something that, you know, that wasn't political or, you know, mean-spirited or anything. That was just observation. And I think that was something that, as you pointed out, contributed to the fact that he just did not resonate, particularly in the suburbs.
Correct. I would say to you that, and it's something that we also talked about on the show a couple times, the issue of abortion. I mean, the Dobbs decision fundamentally flipped the race, flipped, you know, the election, I think, in the last cycle. I think, as you and I discussed, I think most analysts believed that political analysts and people that were giving commentary that it was going to be a good year for Republicans nationally and potentially in and likely in Minnesota. And I think the Dobbs decision flipped that upside down. I think it also tripped up Jensen and his campaign. And Jensen was incredibly candid in discussing from his perspective. And we agreed on a lot of that. You know, I think that Republicans have benefited over the years, a few decades, post Roe v. Wade being decided, that Republicans could take positions on abortion, and they had the safeguard of Roe v. Wade, and that they could discuss the issue of abortion in with having the backstop of Roe v. Wade. And what I mean by that is that there wasn't any they could take positions that weren't, in some instances, grounded in the reality of where the electorate was. Because the truth is that absent Roe v. Wade being excluded, a lot of the it wasn't the positions that the Republicans were staking out. There wasn't a reality that those positions would become law. Mm-hmm. And once the Dobbs decision came out, it became possible for what the Republican message had been or the policy platform that they have taken could potentially become law in states across the country. And I think that tripped Jensen up. Mm-hmm. And what I have to respect Jensen for, and I do, and I said this on the air, and I've said this on your show before, Matt, is that Republicans are the party of personal responsibility until it comes to elections. And there's just not enough thoughtful analysis that's done post-election. What Jensen did on our podcast and what he's attempting to do is something that I think is quite remarkable and something that I haven't seen. In a sense that you have a candidate willing to be introspective about their shortcomings, their campaign staff shortcomings, and how they could have positioned themselves to win. Mm-hmm. And I think it's insightful. I think it's refreshing. Now, I think it's up for other people to determine, and everyone gets to make a decision on what's Jensen's agenda or reason for doing this. All I can say to you is that I sat across from him, and it was a thoughtful conversation about where he wants to go on this issue. I think makes a lot of sense for the party, for Republicans to figure out, and I'm glad that he was willing to do it. I was impressed by his thoughtfulness.
Is it all right if we play this clip from this show that you had sent me? Okay, this is
your show.
But it's your show. I'm going to be playing here. It's the breakdown with Broadcorp and Becky. This is Scott Jensen with some introspection about his loss last year on the governor's race. Patrick, whenever you're ready, go ahead and play that.
Bottom line is, I think that I'll probably take to my grave the realization that when I began my candidacy to be governor of Minnesota, I did so without really doing perhaps the soul searching I could have done in terms of where I was going to land on the issue of abortion, because I am personally pro-life. And yet I'm cognizant of the fact that bodily autonomy is, for many people, directly connected to the notion of having pro-choice. And I'd been a big advocate for being able to say no thank you to a COVID vaccine because I wanted bodily autonomy. And yet that sharp, seemingly apparent hypocrisy of saying, you don't get to have bodily autonomy, but I do. It was a challenge, and it was uncomfortable for me. I don't mind.
That was and that is a shocking bit of introspection and self-reflection on Jensen, and something that you and I had brought up. You know, this is you know that is a pretty strong statement, and Michelle Tafoya as well has been very vocal that post that election that you said, guys, we have to move away from the abortion issue. This is something which, once again, it's, you know, when you're looking at the state of Minnesota, it's Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's the big cities, it's the suburban areas, and it's outstate Minnesota. And this is an issue, you know, choice is not something which, you know, being anti-choice doesn't resonate nearly as much as it used to in the suburbs. And this is becoming a bit of a toxic pill if this continues to be the path that the Republican Party is on.
Correct. And I will say this to you. I think until Republicans figure out where they are at abortion, and they're not, I don't think they're going to be successful statewide. And what I mean by where they figure out, unless the party becomes more open to people and inviting them into the party who are pro-choice, and I think they're just not going to be successful. The Republican Party cannot campaign. A Republican candidate is not going to win statewide talking about abortion in the terms that Jensen did. And I think Jensen recognizes that. And I think that the party needs to listen, and it's interesting that I'm saying this because I was a critic of Jensen, but he is really taking on a Herculean task right now. And I think for people need to listen to what he has to say, because he just went through the process. Here is someone who just went through the endorsement process. And I think it's very clear that Jensen took positions and moved through the party process and took some positions inside the party based on the delegates and based on what the delegates want to hear. Mm-hmm. And the self-reflection that Jensen is taking, I think others need to follow his lead on that, because the party itself needs to recognize that candidates are not being rewarded through the party process. It's not successful. But ultimately, what I think needs to happen is that the Republican Party has to be open to, it needs to be aware of the fact that its position on abortion, particularly running as a statewide ticket, is not going to put a candidate in a path to win. The Republican Party has never knowingly endorsed a pro-choice candidate for statewide office. And the discussion that Jensen is having and he wants to have, I can't begin to tell you how substantive it is inside party politics. Mm-hmm. And this abortion is going to continue to trip up Republicans until they realize that their position of where the party currently stands on abortion is just out of step with Minnesotans. To even get to a place of saying things like the party's position on abortion should be safe, legal, and rare, I don't think that would be a winnable message. I don't know that a candidate who came out and said, I think abortion should be safe, legal, and rare, I don't know that they would get endorsed.
Yeah.
And the reality is that I think the party, that activists inside the party right now are so willing to stick to their principles at the expense of being elected to office. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is that the body politic in Minnesota, I think, has made it very clear that on the issue of abortion, where they want the state to be. And Republicans, I think, are behind on this issue. Mm-hmm. And they have to have open and frank conversations about where they go, or they're not going to get elected statewide.
This opens up an entire, a much larger discussion and a much larger analysis that needs to happen. But unfortunately, I think for the Republicans in this state, and I think in other states as well, is you've really got two separate Republican parties. You've got the Republicans who represent these rural, very red areas where what sells there is the most extreme, the most far right, the most, the real heavy duty talking points of no abortion ever, these sort of things. And that's where the party base is. That is where and if you're a Republican candidate, you have to have all those voters show up and vote. On the other side, you have the game plan was, okay, we'll forsake Minneapolis and St. Paul, but if we can hold the suburbs, there we go. The suburbs are not an area where that message kind of relies. And when I personally, Michael, am dealing with representatives and senators and the Republican side who seem to be far more interested in being an internet troll than representing their own districts, I don't know how you get out of this mess, because the people that represent those really red, beat red districts do not want to give up their power in choosing who is exactly going to be the Republican nominee.
Yes. I mean, no disrespect to some of these local candidates, but Wright County is not reflective of the rest of the state of Minnesota. It's just not. And speaking specifically about Wright County for a second, it's just not. I would argue that Dakota County is much more reflective of the state as a whole than where Wright County is. But if you look at where a lot of the organizational strength in the party comes from, you're exactly right. The problem is that we have where the endorsement process happens is through solid red districts. That's where the endorsement process happens. And so in order to win over those delegates, you have to speak like those delegates. But the problem is that Wright County is not reflective of where the state is, mm-hmm. the entire state is. It's just not. And the problem, and I think it's very difficult for Republicans, a lot of Republicans, to wrap their head around this. And my hope is that Jensen is able to help steer and lead this conversation, because he just got the party's endorsement. And what's significant about what he's saying is, particularly in the Republican Party, is candidates generally, you know, get endorsed, go away. If they lose, they go away, or they come back a couple of years later and they try to run. But the path that I think Jensen is taking, which I think is so remarkable and significant, is that he's taking the path of, I was just endorsed. I want to try to reform where this party is going on the issue of abortion and the endorsement process, because I think he realizes after the election and after losing the mistakes that were made. Now, he was a candidate. I also think it's pretty clear in the interview that Jensen is critical of some of his staff. And I think a lot of the people that worked on Jensen's campaign have to accept accountability for the fact that it's very clear they gave their candidate poor advice. It's clear that they steered him down a road that wasn't successful. And I also think Jensen was candid in the interview about examples where he was fed information too quickly and it hadn't been vetted before it got out publicly. And that is a campaign staff issue. I understand Jensen's name's on the side, billboard, he's the candidate and other things like that. But the reality is that campaigns are managed and run by staff. And I think Jensen was, it's very clear in the interview that Jensen, I think, acknowledges the staff involvement in not putting him in a situation to succeed. And in having listened to the interview and just listened to what you said, it's really remarkable what he said on the podcast. And he should be complimented and encouraged to speak up more about that, because it's important for people to hear it.
I would give, it is an exceptional bird's eye view of what the problem is for the Republicans. It is absolutely, it's a consistency of message. And here's where that problem comes back, is that you've got too many people in the Republican Party who write their own press and then love and then convince themselves their own press releases are truth. They're more concerned about their 20 or so Twitter followers than they are there. And he's putting out very legitimate advice, something that the Republican Party should take to heart. But the reality is people that don't want to hear that, that want to hear their own, you know, talking points pushed, are going to say, well, he's the loser. He lost. If he was a good guy, we should listen to. He should have won. I'm going to continue down this path. It was something, Ron Paul kind of, this is kind of still an offset of what happened when Ron Paul realized you could kind of push a political party to an extreme by basically taking over these state elections, the primary process in these individual states. And it was relatively easy for him to do. And this is where we're at. So when you get into these really red areas, I don't know how exactly the Republican Party says you guys have to understand what you're going out there and you're saying at the barbecues and on the radio interviews and in the print interviews and at your political rallies. If that stuff gets out, it's going to poison us all down the line, and get Republicans that understand that you can't just push extremism, 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 and think that it's going to sell outside of that one specific really red district.
Correct. I completely agree with you, and I don't know how far your analysis will go inside the party, but I think the Republican Party, I think you're absolutely spot on. And what I hope that people can do is set aside where the analysis is coming from and listen to the analysis. I think that during the election, I think a lot of the Jensen supporters blew off, I think, thoughtful analysis and criticism because they thought they were the smartest in the room and they didn't want to listen to anyone. They just had a little bit of tunnel vision. I think post-election, and particularly what Jensen has done that I think is so significant, is I think he's mainstream inside the party having this conversation. And your comments also, I think, are incredibly insightful for Republicans to hear. And important for them to hear.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I want to take a break. I'm very glad you're able to take some time, an extended period of time with us, because this is a great conversation. I want to come back a little bit more on this, talk more about this individual podcast interview with Jensen. But as well, I do have to remind everyone, Michael is officially our Vikings guy. And so he is back. I'm going to, at the end of this, we're going to talk a little Vikings talk because we're getting ready for camps. We're getting ready for this. I want to get your thoughts on where the team is after the offseason. We'll talk about that as well. Michael Broadcorp, kind enough to join us. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, weekdays at 5 p.m. On our show, you'll hear about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. Weekly correspondents like Dr. Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake update us with the latest news from Turtle Island. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Listen weekdays at 5 p.m. or watch the show on Native Roots Radio social media accounts. Ho-wa!
Hey, it's Tom. Fossil fuels continue to have negative impacts on our environment. Luckily, there are more ways now than ever to use renewable energy in your home or business. All Energy Solar offers smart energy solutions like custom solar paneling, electric vehicle chargers, and energy storage. Solar panel systems can last for decades, meaning you can help the environment and cut back on electric bills for years to come. There are incentives and rebates available to most people who install solar energy, too. Last year, the federal solar tax credit increased to a 30% tax credit. This incentive can be used in combination with other incentives from your utility, county, or city. But don't delay or miss out, as many of these incentives are limited to only a certain number of people. So have a professional from All Energy Solar help you discover how solar can power up your property while saving on your energy costs. Call 800-620-3370 or visit allenergysolar.com.
Since when are houses disposable?
I know. About half of what's in landfills are building materials that could be reused or recycled.
For the sake of the environment, this has got to stop.
There is money available to help Hennepin County residents and their contractors do the right thing. Reuse and recycle the building materials. You could earn $400 per ton for materials saved on a partial deconstruction of your next remodeling project, and up to $9,000 for a full deconstruction in Hennepin County.
Fixtures and cabinets?
All the way down to stair treads and 2x4s.
Flooring?
We floor you all day long, sister. Materials are sold at Better Futures Reuse Warehouse at 2620 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis.
Don't demolish, deconstruct. Do the right thing, get money back. You nailed it, brother.
That's denailed it. Wouldn't want to poke an eye out.
Check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. And don't forget to shop the Reuse Warehouse.
The place for summer fun is the Park Tavern. Live music is taking over the Park Tavern's dog-friendly patio this summer. Head over on Tuesday, July 25th for Colby Straka. Wednesday, July 26th, it's Ash St. John. And on Thursday, July 27th, it's Annalise L. Music runs from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and reservations are highly recommended for groups of 8 or more. And the Park Tavern offers private and semi-private spaces for small and large groups with no room fees and no minimum spending requirements. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, get your summer groove on at the Park Tavern.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Allow me to give you a couple of the most important cleaning tips that you need to know. Vacuuming is not sufficient to maintain the cleanliness and lifespan of your carpet, period. My friends at Zero Res use their platinum-rated cleaning system that safely and effectively removes all that deeply embedded nasty dirt, dander, and bacteria. Not only does the patented Zero Res process clean better than anything on the market, surfaces dry faster, and your home and business will stay cleaner longer guaranteed. July is National Carpet Cleaning Month, and because of that, check out this amazing deal Zero Res has going. Zero Res is offering 3 rooms starting at just $129 and get a 4th room free. It's also the perfect time of year to get your air ducts cleaned this month and take 20% off any air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. That's Zero Res.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Hot sunshine today with a high of 90, then overnight tonight, clear skies with a low of 69. Cafe Latte is unlike any restaurant you've ever experienced. Grab a tray and pick from their award-winning selections of soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. Cafe Latte, Victoria Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul, or cafelatte.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Kind enough to join us today to talk about his interview with Scott Jensen, his Michael Broadcorp. And once again, you can find that that interview with his podcast, which is The Breakdown with Broadcorp and Becky. Find it at your favorite podcast sites there, and you can get a good insight into what's going on within Republican politics in Minnesota today. Michael, you know, it's interesting because one of the things, like I said, Jensen has a real bird's eye view here what the problem is. And it's something that it's something that is, I mean, what the Republicans really kind of need to do is, if I may suggest, revisit the days of Reagan, where they had fiscally conservative and much more socially liberal Republicans, the Ventura mentality. It doesn't do you a lot of good to have a candidate who says, I'm a middle of the road guy, a Rod Grams, a Mark Kennedy, who goes on out, becomes a very extreme person, then comes back and tries to say, hey, I'm not really that as extreme as my record says. You need to find candidates. And I guess the question is that even, I think we're looking a few election cycles away, but is that even possible that we could, that the Republican Party would be able to instigate some rules that would say, you know, we're not going to allow you to push your own personal agenda against the party and force the party further and further to the extreme at the expense of the party statewide?
I think it would be, Matt, again, I hope so. I hope so. And you know, one of the things, Matt, I think that the party needs to do is the party activists, from the chair of the party all the way down to the volunteers, have to reevaluate and be as introspective. And again, whether it's coming from Scott Jensen, whether it's coming from me, or whether it's coming from Matt McNeil, I think the analysis that you're offering needs to happen. It's simply not working. The truth is that I don't know if Mark Kennedy could get endorsed, if Rod Grams could get endorsed. Mm-hmm. I guarantee I don't think Tim Pawlenty could get endorsed.
No.
And that's the reality. I don't think that Norm Coleman could get endorsed. And that's just sad to think about where the party is. I also will say to you, And you know, maybe it comes a lot from our conversations that we've had over the years, Matt, but it's so important that Republicans can have these types of conversations. And I know you're not a Republican, but to have that type of conversation with Jensen is what the party needs to do right now. And you are spot on. What gets the news right now and what Republicans seem to be much more engaged with is the kind of vitriol and not moving the vitriol and the, you know, the a lot of the keyboard warriors, but we're not having the insightful conversations. And I will say to you, the interview that I had with Scott Jensen is probably one of the most significant conversations I've had in all my years with someone about the party. And, you know, that, and I've been, you know, whether volunteer, paid staffer, party officer, or an observer of politics, as I'm largely am this day. I think that the Jensen interview is probably the most, if not the most significant conversation I've had with a stakeholder in the direction where the party goes. And it's going to be surprising for people for me to say that because I was such a critic of Jensen. But again, where was my criticism based? And I did discuss this a bit in the interview. I didn't meet Scott Jensen until the Sunday that we conducted the interview. But what I heard about Scott Jensen when he was in the Senate was that he was someone who wanted to have conversations, who wanted to be a part of discussions, and understood that compromise was not the great enemy that activists inside the party had. And I said to people, well, what I heard about Scott Jensen in the Senate, I would have liked that guy. That guy could have potentially won. But what happened is when that type of Scott Jensen gets put into the party process, what comes out the other end is not an electable candidate. And I think Scott Jensen has some responsibility for that. And he's willing to have those conversations. But I think the party activists also have to have those same conversations, because I don't think that the party rewarded and was as helpful as they could have been in putting Scott Jensen in a situation to succeed. Again, I understand he's the candidate and his name's on the side, but there is a partnership that exists between campaigns and the party process and the candidates. And in this particular instance, I don't think the party did what they could do to help get Scott Jensen over the finish line.
You can't have that Cobra Kai mentality. You can't just be all or nothing. Yes. And I think that that's part of the problem, is that we're going to force them to do what we would say. I mean, we joked about last year about the jamming things down people's throats. I mean, you can't, that's not a good sell, and that's a hard problem. Okay, so you talk about, you know, his overview, his retrospection, his basically calling out the fact that there were people around him that weren't helping him out. What were one or the other two things that you, in this Jensen interview, that you came away with saying, wow, that's an interesting perspective?
Well, he talked about the endorsement process, which was significant, and that and it's one of the points that is how the endorsement process is in need of reform and repair. You know, Republicans spend far too much significance on an intramural contest. It's something that we've talked about before. And what happens is candidates become all in on winning the endorsements, and it is an intramural. It's like winning a preseason game. It's just insignificant in the grander scheme of things. It's part of the process. But Republicans put far too much emphasis on the endorsement process. And Jensen was candid and talked about the need that should he run again, or should a candidate that he was encouraging candidates to go to the endorsement, just to seek the endorsement, but not abide by the endorsement and run in the primary. And if he were to run again, Jensen would adopt that model. And that's significant, because Republicans have come to revere and love the endorsement process. When I was a party officer, it was my obligation to ensure that candidates abided by the endorsement process, because it was significant. But it's become to the point where there's so much spending on the endorsement process. I mean, one of the examples I like to bring up is Jeff Johnson's race in 2014. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a campaign that spent money to serve oysters on the half shell to delegates at the convention in Rochester to try to win their endorsement. But that same campaign didn't have money to run ads to the level which they needed to in November to win. And it shows how the endorsement process has become far too significant of a monetary hurdle that Republicans, or a monetary obligation inside the party process. And Jensen talked about that. And incredibly insightful and significant, because there have been Republicans who, I will say this, very smart operatives, people with experience, who understand that the endorsement process is not producing candidates that can succeed. Mm-hmm. And there's far too much money being spent on it. Incredibly insightful that Jensen would be willing to take that on. Significant and important.
And just one last thing on this is, do you think you will be able to look at, say you pull out the 100 or so, 200 or so convention delegates that come from the most red, deep red parts of the state? Do you think you could talk to them beforehand and say, guys, focus on electability. Don't just focus on who's saying every dog whistle thing that gets your tail wagging. Talk about electability, because as much as your district is far red, they have to win suburbs. And if they can't win the suburbs, we don't have a chance. Do you think that there is an ability to, you know, sit down, look at them and say, you know what, here's our path to victory. We need you guys to get on board.
I think it's possible to have those conversations. I don't know how receptive people will be. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it. I think what Jensen is laying out, is going to be an absolute street fight. I don't think anyone's going to give. I don't think any local party unit is going to give up their power just easily. And I think it's comfortable. And the discussions that I think Jensen wants to have, I think the conversations that I've tried to have with activists, I think they're uncomfortable conversations. But I hope that they're willing to have them. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be a street fight. And unfortunately, I think you may be right. It may be a cycle or two down the road before we get it. But the reality is that if looking at the election results, what Republicans have been doing in this state to win elections has not been successful, and they need to win elections.
And to give you credit, you were pegging this problem 2 years ago. 2 years ago, you were pegging this problem. And it's nice to see Scott Jensen come around, and I think he has a lot of weight within the party. And once again, I mentioned Michelle Tafoya, kind of mentioned it after the election. I think more people are starting to say this. It just depends on the audience. And I agree with you. Your comment there, it's a street fight, is the most one of the better comments I've heard on politics in this state in a year. The Breakdown with Broadcorp and Becky is the podcast. The Scott Jensen one is out there. Go find it. It is everywhere. Apple, Spotify, podcast, YouTube. I will put the link out for that. Go listen to it and subscribe and enjoy this. We can't make our state better unless we understand the politics from all angles. And I think this is an important element. If you want to be smarter at politics, listen to Michael Broadcorp and this podcast. And I should mention Jeff Kolb as well, helping you out with that as well. So
thank you, sir.
No problem. Now let's get into the fun part. I know you're excited. Well, first of all, you went and saw the Barbie movie twice this weekend. Did I say that correct?
You did. I thought it was fantastic. I think, yes, I did see it twice, and just very briefly. I encourage everyone to listen to it, to go see it. I think the Barbie movie is going to become like, I don't know if you ever saw the Rocky Horror Picture Show in movie theater, but people dress up, they dance, they know the numbers, they know the lines. I think it's going to be like that. There's a number of like kind of musical, there's a couple songs and performances in the movie that I think we'll have that type of effect. I think it's going to be a movie that is just going to have an incredible lasting effect. Interesting. I saw it on Thursday night with my daughters and a couple friends. And there were people dressed up. There were people in, pink and excited, glitz and glam. As you know, Matt, might not be surprising to your listeners. I don't go to a lot of glitz and glam events. I'm not a glitz and glam guy. But Thursday night was there was a level that. So I went last night with my entire family, son and wife and a couple other relatives, and it was over the top. I mean, it was the closest thing that I'm probably going to experience to like a red carpet event.
Wow.
It was just dramatic inside. There were kids that there were, little girls that had their Barbie dolls, and it was just a great movie and a great experience. And go see it. And I encourage all your listeners. I'm not paid. This isn't a paid endorsement.
No.
But it's just go see it. It's a lot of fun.
My daughter, indeed. Pink. I didn't know she owned so much pink, and they had it on Thursday night. It really is resonating with Generation Z for sure. They really love it, and I think this is one of those cultural moments that we need to make sure we take credit for. So you, and last year, in case you missed this, Michael Broadcorp is a huge Vikings fan, and I said, fine, we need a Vikings guy. So he became our Vikings person. We had him on. We'll talk about Vikings and stuff like that. We'll have him when we come up the season goes, we'll have him on throughout the season to talk about the games that they're coming up. I have no problem in doing that. You, of course, have been focusing on the team, watching the team. Your thoughts as the Vikings get ready. I mean, Kirk Cousins is sure getting a lot of great press with that Netflix show.
Well, and Matt, to your listeners, you also know that you're speaking to someone who made an appearance in that Netflix Netflix show.
Yes, you did.
I mean, I am, and I really, I'm glad for I think I helped drive the ratings, by being in the crowd, doing the skull chant. I think it was beneficial, and it's been a real team effort between Kirk Cousins and I to bring some attention to that Netflix documentary, and I'm really excited about that. No, he is getting some good press. I think that there is a humbleness that he has. He doesn't fit, I think, the traditional mode of NFL quarterbacks. On paper, Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback. I have kind of a little bit of not a love-hate, but a love-disappointment relationship a little bit with Kirk Cousins. And so, I mean, I think the general consensus coming into the season is that this could potentially be somewhat of a rebuilding year. But we'll see. We new defensive coordinator, and we got to see what they're able to pull together. There was a lot of surprises last season in how the team did and the record that they had. But I'm as excited as I've ever been coming off my appearance in The Quarterback on Netflix, I'm coming into this season as energized as I could be.
Dalvin Cook going away is how much of an, I mean, obviously you said that's a lot of people point to that and say rebuilding year, but I would also say Justin Jefferson is still there. And as long as you have him on the field, you can throw into triple coverage and he'll come down with it somehow. It's, you really do have weapons on this team. Hockles in the tight end. You do have, you had a fairly deep, I was looking back at that Colts game, the Buffalo game. You have a lot of deep running backs there. You know, are we really going to miss Cook that much, or do you think that there's going to be enough, you know, players coming in that will offset that?
I was a big Dalvin Cook fan, and I don't think he's landed. I just checked the wire right now. I don't think he's landed with anyone yet. I think there's talk about him potentially, you know, going to the Patriots. I think it's pretty clear based on, you know, the offer that the Vikings made. I think there's money there on the table for him if he wants to take it. I just don't think he wants to. I don't think he wants to come back to Minnesota, but we'll see. I'd love if he came back because I was a big Dalvin Cook fan. And yes, Justin Jefferson is an explosive offensive player. I like the combination of Justin Jefferson with Dalvin Cook, but the Vikings made that decision, and so I just hope you're right in saying. I guess my bias in my respect for Dalvin Cook is maybe part of the reason why I'm saying rebuilding year, but hopefully they're able to fill that hole with Dalvin Carr because I think he was an explosive player. I think he's a strong player, and I think he really brought some energy to that team. And so hopefully they can fill that. And it's not as much as a rebuilding year as I think a lot of people are talking about.
He's 27 years old. There is a epidemic in the NFL about paying older running backs long-term contracts. Miami, by the way, is another team I've heard that is interested in them. Patrick, is there any other team you've heard of that's interested?
I've heard the New York Jets thrown in a little bit on Cook as well.
Ooh. Well, that'd be interesting. But I think the Vikings put a fair offer out there, and I agree with you. I don't think Cook wants to be here, and someone will offer him, you know, an insane contract for his age. And once again, it's interesting. I'm about to turn 55. I'm talking about a 27-year-old aging out of a position. But the reality is that that's an epidemic in the NFL is to give older running backs long-term deals, knowing that that's going to hurt your team down the line.
Correct. Yeah. And I think one of the other things we have to think about is Kirk Cousins, where is he going to be long-term? Mm-hmm. You know, where is he going to be long term? There's the story out of ESPN today talking about the possibility of this being Kirk Cousins' final training camp with the team. You know, again, there's just something about Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, and particularly the Vikings community, where it's a divided subject. Mm-hmm. It's somewhat of a polarizing subject. And I think on paper, Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback. I do think that there is a leadership quality that is somewhat missing. And I think that this Netflix documentary, again, that I appeared with Kirk's cousin, I think shines a light on him that I think will give him a boost and a bit of confidence this season to see how he does.
One last thing here, because we got to get into that last break here. But one last thing here is it's going to be the first year in a long time the Green Bay Packers do not have an all-star quarterback, and I'm looking so forward to that.
You're also talking to someone, if you remember. My wife and I went to the last Aaron Rodgers game at Lambeau Field last season.
That's
so
right.
I got to see Aaron Rodgers' last pass as a Packer, last touchdown in Lambeau Field.
So
great to see.
Well, and he's off to the Jets, and the Packers are probably off to last place. Anyway, we'll have to see how that goes. All right, so Michael Broadcorp, once again, I'll post all the links out there. Get the podcast. Michael, anything you need, personal level, man, you call me directly. Let me know. By all means, man, I'm here for you. I am so glad you're back up and running. It's a privilege to have you back for your first long interview here. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the time today.
No, this has been wonderful, Matt, and this has also been great for my recovery and my mental health and talking and just being here. Just want to thank you so much for the opportunity again and all your listeners. Have a great day, and I look forward to being back on soon.
Anytime. We'll have you back in a few weeks, by all means. Michael Broadcorp, kind enough to join us today. We'll take a break. Come on back. Get ready for Patty Vasquez coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Are your remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Crooner's Supper Club invites you to enjoy drinks, a delicious dinner, and live music from both big-name local and national artists in a wide array of styles. Before or after your show, check out the new Maggie's Lounge, a perfect spot to visit with friends. It's open Wednesdays through Sundays beginning at 4:30 with cocktails and light fare. And you don't need a ticket to enjoy the great atmosphere of Maggie's. Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65, a little piece of old-school nightlife in the 21st century.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You've heard me talk about the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program. Now hear from someone who's actually done it, me. Our kid's car, the 2006 Toyota Sienna, served us well for 17 years, but it was finally time to say goodbye. The We Buy program is really simple. I gave them some basic information, we set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they gave me an estimate and a check, and they made me a generous offer. It was that fast. See for yourself. Try the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program at RudyLutherToyota.com.
End-of-life decisions are not easy to make. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Hospice Care. It's important to make sure that this difficult time is meaningful and comforting to you and your loved ones. Our hospice team provides an individualized program of physical, emotional, spiritual, and practical care so your loved one is comfortable and not in pain. At Mary T. Hospice, we understand that choosing the right hospice care provider can be overwhelming, but we're here to assist you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. It's remarkable to hear Jensen talk with clarity on this issue. I mean, that real self-retrospection. And I always remember Jensen when he was trying to get the insulin bill. His insulin. He was the Republican. And the party forced him to vote against it, to kill the bill, because they wanted to use it to negotiate something. And you could tell, you know, there was a lot of self-respect. That was why it was so wild to watch him come out at the beginning of his campaign and be, you know, he completely understood what it took to win the endorsement of the Republican Party from that extreme right. He understood that. And my guess is going to be whoever's going to be taking on Klobuchar next year is going to do the same thing. It's all of a sudden going to be like, you know, I'm going to, you know, do everything in my power to stop Minnesota from doing everything. That's going to be the case. I have zero doubt. But, you know, that is the big question for the Republicans. How do you stop this? I mean, it's not just the Walter Hudsons and the Elliot Engans who basically sit there and clearly are far more interested in being internet trolls than they are about being a representative or a senator that serves the state. But it's the fact that you've got these extremists. Their own press release believing, their own self-induced troll cycle endorsing and validating group of Republicans. The Mary Frances, Steve Drazkowski, Gruenhagens, the Tory Westrums, the Eric Luceros, that basically are considered mainstream, but, you know, that they do not care. They only seem to care about their own district. I mean, Drazkowski himself, I'm sorry, those comments he made this last session are going to come back to haunt the Republican Party tenfold come this upcoming election, the Minnesota House election. And we've already talked about the math for Republicans with the new maps that came out last year got a heck of a lot tougher. Because the amount of districts which naturally lean blue were outnumbering them. And as we go through this decade, those districts are only going to become more blue. You know, we just a few weeks ago had the story out of Chaska about, you know, this anti-LGBT crew, you know, LGBTQIA plus group that was coming out there to go after Little Rouge down in Chaska. 10 years ago, I think more people in Chaska would have showed up against the Drag Queen Story Hour. They were overwhelmed. That gives you an idea of where the outer suburbs are right now.
So if you're going out there and you're trying to put forward candidates who are the most extreme, the most far right, the most, you know, this, because it gives great joy and pleasure to the Republican base, well, you ain't going to be winning the state of Minnesota anytime soon. Hour two, that's coming up next.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, ginger tamari chicken wings, smoked chicken liver pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at nightingalempls.com.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.